Our scripture lesson this morning is a familiar one to you, I would think. It is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Paul, as he's writing to Timothy, says, "As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Every year at annual conference, the retiring pastors are recognized. And those that desire to are given an opportunity to take a few minutes to make some remarks to the conference. In my earlier years, this is where I took a break because I didn't know any of these old folks. In recent years, I've started hanging around because I'm becoming one of the old folks. And more of my contemporaries are starting to enter those ranks. Some of the speeches have been sentimental. Others have been quite comical. Most express gratitude for having had the avenue through which to live out and serve out their calling. These final speeches leave a lasting impression. There have been pastors I never met. They were completely anonymous to me. But I wish I had known them from the spirit of their departing words to the conference. Unfortunately, there were a few that had an axe to grind. And those words left an awful taste in my mouth. Now, the conference has changed that, though. At least this past year, you don't make those remarks like you used to anymore. You go to the conference office and they pre-record it and they give you a format that you follow. So they've kind of changed things a little bit. But one speech from several years ago stands out in my mind. I can still hear it and see it today. As a young pastor, I had thought very highly of an older pastor. I'd had this pastor preach a revival in my church. This person got up to make their retirement speech, and I was anticipating what this preacher that I had admired would get up and say. Turns out this pastor had felt slighted over the year because no bishop had ever personally spoken to him. So they used the time to release their pent-up frustration and chew out the bishop on the conference floor. I was embarrassed. I had thought highly of this preacher. And now I was embarrassed for him. And regardless of how I tried to do otherwise, all of the admiration I'd ever had before was swallowed up in that angry speech. One time in passing, I was in a restaurant and I saw him waiting at a table for his family to bring him his meal because his health had declined. And I tried not to, but all I could do when I looked at him was to see anger. And to see the anger and disdain on his face from when he had made that departing speech. Years of good can be erased. Or years of being anonymous can be turned into adoration by the last words we say or the last actions we perform. And so I began to wonder, if I drop dead right now, and it could happen, if I drop dead before this sermon is over, how will I be remembered? If something happens to me and I'm no longer able to live the life that I'm accustomed to now, what will my last word have been? What will my last action have been? For it occurs to me, as these reflections rolled around in my heart and my mind, that most of us do not have the opportunity to choose our last word. Most of us do not have the opportunity to choose our last act. Unlike the retirement speech or the farewell sermon that is given at a planned time and a planned location, life very often ends before we have a chance to make amends with that estranged friend or that estranged loved one. Life often ends before we have a chance to do that good that we always said we would one day do. Life obviously ends with the finality of death, but life in so many ways ends when we are no longer able to do for ourselves as we once had, when age and illness catches up with us. Be it today, or hopefully years down the road, what will be your final word? What will be your final act? Now, I can hear some of you thinking right now, boy, John must have been depressed when he wrote this one. And not only was he depressed when he wrote this one, he's trying to bring the rest of us down with him. No. I was not depressed when it was written, and I'm not trying to bring anybody down. But God does call us all to look deeply in the mirror of our hearts and souls and ask, how am I spending this gift of life that God has granted me? And when my time on this planet is over, what will be the lasting impact of my life? The psalmist prayed, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Haynes and John like to paraphrase a lot. So John's paraphrase of this psalm is, help me remember that I'm not here forever so that I make the most of the time I get. Paul's final words to Timothy are extremely moving to me. He's looking death in the face. He reflects upon his life and his most probable future. He's feverishly offering final instructions to a young pastor, his son in the faith. And he says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering. And the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Acts 28, 30 and 31 are two very telling verses concerning Paul's final days according to church tradition. You'll recall that Paul was arrested, and when he was arrested, he made claim to his Roman citizenship. So rather than be tried in the Jewish court, which would have been a kangaroo court, he appealed to have his case heard by Caesar. He's under house arrest in Rome. Tradition contends that Paul was executed by Nero in 64 AD. And the final words of the book of Acts are these. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. I hear the writer saying that Paul was saying, my time's almost up. I can hear the footsteps of the executioner now. My time's almost up. But it's not over until it's over. And until it is over, I'm bringing as many people to heaven with me as I can, as I'm bringing as many people as I can, as long as I've got left, to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. At another annual conference, I ran into the pastor I entered the ministry under. He retired at the mandatory age, and it's either 70 or 72, I always forget. And he immediately took an appointment as a retired supply pastor. Now, what that is many churches are very small and they can't afford the expenses that go with being a larger, more full-time church. And many pastors, when they retire, they'll serve in these small churches, and the title is retired supply. And so I ran into him and I said, well, so-and-so, are you fully retired yet? Or are you still doing the retired supply pastor thing? He was 76 years old at the time. And he said, John, the Lord hadn't said quit yet. Well, he's 88 years old and he's still preaching. He hadn't heard quit yet. And at 88 years old, he's doing what I'm doing now and probably doing a better job. As long as we can do, as long as we can speak, as long as we have our mind, the Lord don't say quit. We may be 50, we may be 70, we may be 90, we may be beyond, but the Lord does not say quit. Now we serve in different capacities as we get older and as our bodies rebel against us. When I entered the ministry at 20-something years old, I played softball, I played dodgeball, and before we had to worry about things like we do today, I wrestled with the teenage boys. I mean, youth ministry was fine at that point in my life. Now if I tried to do that, I couldn't move for a month. So I would fully support a youth pastor, but I can't do youth ministry myself anymore. What we can do changes over time. What we're able to do will change. But the Lord does not say quit. The Lord may say your calling is different at 60 than it was at 25, but I didn't say quit yet. We may retire from our profession, but the Bible makes no mention of retiring from God's service. Does your retirement free you up to serve the Lord in ways that obligations and responsibilities of the job did not allow? It can. For you see, if you're in this room this morning, your final word has yet to be spoken. Your final act has yet to be done. Unfortunately, as we get older and life changes, our thoughts and attitudes too often resemble the attitude of a man named Fred. Fred and Esther were strolling through the grocery store one day getting their weekly supplies. And Fred got to noticing that every product carries some type of expiration date. And after reading several of these labels, Fred turned to Esther, his wife of 53 years, and said, honey, I think we've both passed our best if used by date. Perhaps we would come much closer to enhancing the positive nature of the words and actions we have left if we adopted the attitude of June Carter Cash as related by Reese Witherspoon, who won an Oscar for her portrayal of June Carter Cash in the movie Walk the Line. During her acceptance speech, Witherspoon related how she would talk to Miss Cash, and she had asked June Cash, you know, how she was doing. To which she would always respond, "I'm just trying to matter. I'm just trying to matter." When we're seeking intentionally to matter, we are more apt to be alert to those opportunities we are given that will matter. But so often people will say something to me like, and it's genuine. They'll say, "John, I really do want to serve Jesus, but I don't feel that unmistakable hand on my shoulder or that unmistakable whisper in my ear like you preachers talk about. Further, I look at others and I just don't feel that what I have to offer really measures up." Well, I read that when Beethoven learned that his friend's son had died, he hurried over to the house. And at this point in Beethoven's life, he was all but deaf, and so he found conversation difficult and humiliating. So rather than trying to speak words of comfort, he stepped over to the piano and he began to pour his grief out on those piano keys as only a musician knows how that can be done. And for half an hour, he just played the piano, pouring his emotions into the piano, trying to use it as a comfort to his friend. When Beethoven finished playing, after about a half an hour, he simply got up and left without saying a word. His friend later would note, "No one else's visit meant more during that time of acute grief." We don't all have the same temperaments. We don't all have the same abilities. But we all do something well. We all have something that tugs at our heart. Perhaps that is where Jesus is calling you. What do you do well? There's a way it can be used for God's kingdom. What's tugging at your heart? I'm not Jesus, but I would be willing to bet that's Jesus' way of saying, "This is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to do." And I guarantee you, between this local congregation and this community, there is a place where God can use what you do well. There is a place where God needs, where your heart is being tugged. There is a place to use those abilities to accomplish a divine purpose. And when we connect with that divine purpose, our words and our actions will leave a legacy well worth remembering and well worth repeating. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, thank you for the example of Paul. That all of his life, he proclaimed the gospel in whatever setting he found himself, even house arrest. And gracious Lord, so many times as age creeps up on us, as health is not what it used to be, we can succumb to the feeling that you can't use us anymore. But Lord, let us never forget that you do. And so, Lord, for every person in this room, give us the attention that when we feel that tug, we hear you also tell us where that tug is leading, that you might use us, where we might use our talents for the building of your kingdom. So that, Lord, whether we have a portion of this day left on earth or whether we have decades remaining, when our last word has been said, when our last act has been done, may it bring glory to your most holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our altar is open as it is always. If you feel led,